rich in mercy. God is rich in mercy. God is rich in mercy. God is rich in mercy. So great is God's love for us, that even when we were dead in sin, with Christ God has made us alive again. By grace you have been saved through faith. By grace, by grace we have been saved through faith. By grace, by grace, by grace we have been saved through faith. By grace.
Good morning. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Now for you it's Sunday, for me it's the new Sunday, and by that I mean it's Wednesday morning at Trinity Lutheran Church. Soon and very soon we'll be returning to Sunday mornings live and in person, but for now, Wednesday is Sunday. That also means that Sunday and Monday are my sermon writing days. This past Sunday, we had some 400 people vaccinated here at Trinity Lutheran Church. It was a busy morning as your church served in the midst of this pandemic. I also had a funeral that afternoon in Anacortes. Needless to say, that day was lost to sermon writing. Felicia and I received our second shots last Sunday, and all day Monday, we were sick. That day, too, was lost to sermon writing. So what am I telling you? I'm telling you that this is your lucky day. God works in mysterious ways. The sermon today will be short, mercifully short.
Celebrate good times, come on. It's a celebration.
Come on, really? That's a little over the top. All right, it's good that we're here, and God has promised to meet us here on this fourth Sunday, Wednesday in Lent. We gather across the airwaves to worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our opening hymn this morning is a good reminder to all of us that the church does not belong to us, it belongs to Jesus. All are welcome. I'm going to head in. We'll see you inside.
Let us build a house where love can dwell and all can safely live. A place where saints and children tell how hearts learn to forgive. Built of hopes and dreams and visions, rock of faith and vault of grace. Hear the love of Christ shall end divisions. All are welcome, all are welcome, all are welcome in this place. Let us build a house where prophets speak and words are strong and true, where all God's children dare to seek to dream God's reign anew. Shall stand as witness and a symbol of God's grace. Here as one we claim the faith of Jesus. All are welcome, all are welcome, all are welcome in this place. Let us build a house where hands will reach beyond the word and stone, to heal and strengthen, serve and teach, and to live the word they've known. Hear the outcast and the stranger, bear the image of God's face. Let us bring an end to fear and danger. All are welcome.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, Master of welcome, Master of grace, Lord of creation, open our hearts and minds to your truth that we may go forward from this place to love and serve in your name. Amen. Lynn is going to read for us. Lynn and Marilyn are part of our Coopville family. Over to you, Lynn.
Today's lesson is from the third chapter of John. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The word of the Lord.
Thank you, Lynn and Marilyn, for your love and your service. We love you back. Carl's going to sing for us at this time.
If you but trust in God to guide you with gentle hand through all your ways, you'll find that God is there beside you when crosses come in trying days. Trust then in God's unchanging love, build on the rock that will. What gain is there in anxious weeping, in helpless anger and distress, if you are in your Savior's keeping, in doubting will he love you less? For Christ who took for you a cross will bring you safe through. Unswerving, offer your service faithfully. Trust heaven's word, though undeserving. You find God's promise true to be. This is our confidence indeed. God never fails in time of need. If you but trust in God to guide you with gentle hand through all your ways, you'll find that God is there beside you when crosses come in trying days.
In the Bible, there are well-known and obscure verses. Well-known verses like from the book of Genesis, "In the beginning, God created." Or from the Gospel of John, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." And the soon-to-be-used Easter verse, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen." There are also obscure verses like Proverbs 26:11. "As a dog returns to his vomit, so a fool repeats his folly." You may want to discuss that one over dinner tonight. Now, among the most famous Bible verses of our day was just read in our first lesson today. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life." In the 1970s and 80s, there was rarely a sporting event covered on TV when you did not see this guy on your screen, Rainbow Man, John 3:16. Now, the verse that follows John 3:16 is less known, but perhaps even more beautiful. I read it for you now. "Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Now, I'm not sure what your image of God is, but if you have imagined God as being angry, keeping score of your sins, waiting for you to fall so that God could kick you and condemn you to hell, well, that is not our God. Mark Twain famously remarked, "The God of the Old Testament is God before he got religion." God did not, hear me now, God did not send Jesus to condemn the world, but to save lost sinners like me. One of my seminary professors, Gerhard Ferdy, taught us saying, "If the gospel is not good news, then you haven't heard it." But sometimes the church forgets that we are called to be dispensers of good news. And the church, in an attempt to control people, to maintain power, to protect the institution, or to somehow justify the religious people, tends to turn good news into bad news, dispensing shame and guilt, and sometimes turning wine back into water. If the gospel is not good news, then you have not heard the gospel. Which leads us to our second lesson for the day, from the second chapter of Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus. The lesson is grace-filled, and yet it is an attack. That's right, an all-out assault. An attack against the enemies of the gospel of Jesus Christ. An attack against arrogance. An attack against hypocrisy. An attack against the church and religious people who proudly display their righteousness as they sit in judgment of others. The church can become more like a country club, but at its core, Christianity is just one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. Our text today is good news, and it is an attack. The question is, how will we hear it? Ephesians 2, starting with verse 4. God, who is rich in mercy, because of the great love he had for us, even though we were dead in our transgressions, brought us to life. By grace, you have been saved. This text describes the human condition, dead in our transgressions. Or as Paul wrote in Romans, all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. But Paul also said in the book of Romans, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, God is merciful, slow to anger, loving, and grace-filled. We are humans. Sometimes we are strong and sometimes we are weak. Sometimes we are faithful and sometimes we are unfaithful. We are kind and we are cruel. We are compassionate and we are self-centered. But the God who loves us will not give up on us. We will not be able to overcome the will of God with our rebellion. If God wants us, by God, God will have us. By grace, you have been saved. The acclaimed author and friend of our parish, Philip Yancey, wrote, "Grace means that there is nothing we can do to make God love us more, and there is nothing we can do to make God love us less." And what does nothing mean? Nothing means nothing. Back to Paul's letter to the Ephesians. By grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your doing. It is a gift from God. It is not from works, so no one may boast. Now I have to tell you, I'm not always sure what this journey of life is all about. I'm not always sure how God is working in my life or in the world, or if God is not working at all some days. I've got to tell you, I'm sometimes mad at God. And when I get to the pearly gates, I'm going to have a few questions, pointed questions maybe, for Jesus. Yeah, I'm not always sure what this journey of life is all about, but this much is very clear to me. It's not about earning God's approval. It's not about earning God's love. It's not about doing penance to make up for our sins. It's not about trying to achieve enough to get back in God's good graces. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son so that we might have eternal life. Jesus came to save, and Jesus came that you might have abundant life and meaningful life right now. Eternal life and abundant life. One of those is a done deal, and the other is up to you. What I mean is this: you do not get to vote on your eternal status. You do not get to decide if God exists. Your belief or your unbelief is not going to change reality. And God will not be defeated by 200 pounds of dust and bones and blood. God will have you, and nothing will change that. God is love, and nothing can separate us from the love of God. Not cancer, not death, not unbelief. There is nothing. Nothing you can do to make God love you more, and there is nothing you can do to make God love you less. You are saved. Are saved. It's a done deal. But abundant life is more complicated than that. Why? Because it depends upon our participation. God needs us to participate. Abundant life here and now, that's mostly up to you. And the luck of the draw, and the community we build together, and the way we care for the environment, and the sacrifices of those who have gone before us. Back to Ephesians. By grace, you have been saved through faith. And it is not your own doing. It is a gift from God. It is not from works, so no one may boast. Works. Works have no place in salvation. But hold on. For Paul is not quite finished yet. He continues to write, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus for the good works that God has prepared in advance." Now let's hold these two thoughts side by side for just a moment, if we can. Works have no place in our salvation, but we are created to be about good works. Why? Well, that's the part that we've been called to play in this earthly experiment. That's the role that's been assigned to us as humans this time around in the solar system. We are created for good works, not to earn God's approval, but to honor the one who gave us love and life and freedom and salvation. This is a response to God's grace, and it will lead to more abundant life as we journey along for 80 years or so. It will lead to more abundant life for us and for our community and for our family, and we will leave a better community to our children as well. We were created for good works, but we were also created with free will. We can choose to live any way that we want, and we will live with the consequences of those choices. You see, you do not have the power to ruin God's day, but you do have the power to ruin your life. We can live any way we want, and God will not love us more. God will not love us more if we go to church, or if we give our money to the poor, or if we volunteer at hospice. We can live any way we want, and God will not love us less if we cheat on our spouse or our taxes, or if we hoard our money, or lack compassion for the poor. But let me tell you, I have never met a happy, well-adjusted cheapskate. And those whose lives are marked by secrets and greed and betrayal, they do not lead abundant lives. There is nothing we can do to make God love us more. We are nothing more than beggars, one beggar telling another where to find bread. And what is this? This is an assault on a good Christian's ego. And this should lead to the death of arrogance, to the death of self-righteousness, to the death of judgmentalism. And it should lead to the birth of humility and compassion, to lives of gratitude and generosity, living in response to God's grace. Hear this one more time. What you do makes no difference in the orbits of the planets or the formations of galaxies. What you do makes no difference in the existence of God or in your own salvation. And what you do makes all the difference in the world to those you live with and those who will come after you. May we claim our calling. We are called to be dispensers of grace. We are created for good works. And when it's all been said and done, that's all that really matters. The gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Carl's going to sing.
When it's all been said and done, there is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life for you? When it's all been said and done, all my treasures will mean nothing. Only what I've done for love's reward will stand the test of time. Lord, your mercy is so great that you look beyond our weakness and find purest gold in miry clay, making sinners into saints. I will always sing your praise here on earth and ever after, for you've shown me heaven's my true home when it's all been said and done. You're my life when life is gone. When it's all been said and done, there is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life for you? Lord, I live my life for you.
We lift our hearts now to God in prayer. The one who loves and forgives us has promised.
God, hear the prayer we lift to you this day. Attend to the words of our longings. Our hearts are open before you in faith. We call to you, O God.
God, by your grace, you have saved us. Help us to be faithful as we open our hearts and seek to follow you. In loving response to that saving grace, we seek to be your children in a larger world and in our communities with individual acts of grace and love, lifting those in any need and living out your word that you sent Jesus not to condemn, but to save. Guide us as we serve you, and hear us as we sing.
God, hear the prayer we lift to you this day. Attend to the words of our longings. Our hearts are open before you in faith. We call to you, O God.
Gracious God, you have called us to welcome, love, and serve all people. Help us as we see division in our church and in our politics. Let us lean on your Spirit to guide our actions, calm our discourse, and find ways to genuinely hear our neighbor. We know your love can guide us to true reconciliation. Help us to listen and hear us as we sing.
God, hear the prayer we lift to you this day. Attend to the words of our longings. Our hearts are open before you in faith. We call to you, O God.
Gracious God, our world is troubled. Your children suffer. Send your Holy Spirit to the leaders of nations and the leaders of movements. May peace prevail and may freedom ring for your children everywhere. From Palestine to the Philippines, from Mexico to Minneapolis, may we hear and respond to cries of injustice from communities of color and from all marginalized people. Guide us to healing actions and hear us as we sing.
God, hear the prayer we lift to you this day. Attend to the words of our longings. Our hearts are open before you in faith. We call to you, O God.
We give thanks for the family of God here at TLC. Especially this week, we celebrate with Emily and Court Noblek at the baptism of their son Brooks last weekend, and with Hillary and Christopher Thurman as they rejoice in the baptism of daughter Wiley Joy this weekend. Celebrating with grandparents Felicia, Jim, Kelly, and Rob, we give thanks for new life and ask that you hear us as we sing.
God, hear the prayer we lift to you this day. Attend to the words of our longings. Our hearts are open before you in faith. We call to you, O God.
All these things and whatever else is upon our hearts, we lift to you, gracious God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you. Share a sign of peace and greeting with one another. And if you're worshiping alone, don't let this day go by without reaching out to share grace with someone else.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you. And with you.
A few announcements this morning. Wiley Beatrice Joy Thurman was baptized right here at Trinity Lutheran Church yesterday. Her mother, Hillary, was baptized at the very same baptismal font in May of 2005. We rejoice with the Mellish and Thurman families as little Wiley becomes the youngest and newest member of Trinity Lutheran Church. She was born on Christmas Day, 2020. And we rejoice as well with Laura Lee and David Swale at the birth of their son, Conrad. Conrad joins big sister Emma in the Swale home. Grandparents Linda and James Neverman are as proud as they could be. We look forward to meeting little Conrad soon. Easter is just around the corner, and we're going to have Easter services on Sunday, April 4th, out in the parking lot at 8 and 10:30. We'll have a lot more information coming out about that Easter celebration for you. I'm going to call on Deacon Amy now, our Director of Christian Education, and she's going to share with us a few announcements about what's going on here in the parish. Deacon Amy?
Thank you, Pastor Jim. As always, a lot of great things happening here at Trinity. Adult education happens on Zoom at 9:30 every Sunday morning. This morning, Pastor Jim concludes his two-week session on Reflections, Trinity's Past, Present, and Future. Next Sunday morning, Pastor Dennis begins a two-week session on the people and actions that led to the cross. Every Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, we have opportunities for our students to meet. This Sunday will be Sunday school, and next week will be confirmation class. Again, we meet at 11 on Zoom. Every Tuesday afternoon at 4 o'clock, our middle school youth group has a chance to get together on Zoom. Starting on the 23rd, though, we'll be meeting right out here in the courtyard around our brand new fire pit. If you would like to be on the email list for any of these Zoom events or live person events, please contact us here in the church office. Thanks.
Thank you, Amy, and thank you all for your support during the past 53 weeks. We dedicate now our gifts and our very lives to God as we pray together, singing the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever, now and forever. Amen.
Now receive the benediction. May God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine on you and be gracious to you. May God look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our closing song, He's Got the Whole World in His Hands. Sing along wherever you are. Sing along with Carl.
He's got the whole world in His hands. Doctors and the nurses in his hands, he got the doctors and the nurses in his hands, he got the doctors and the nurses in his hands, he's got the whole world in his hands, he's got the whole world in his hands, he's got the whole wide world in his hands, he's got the whole world in his hands, he's got the whole world in his hands, he's got unemployed and the workers. got the whole world in his hands. He got the whole wide world in his hands. He got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the healthy and the ailing in his hands. He's got the healthy and the ailing in his hands. He's got the healthy and the ailing in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole
One year closer, one day closer. Be safe. Please be safe. We are almost at the end of this pandemic. Created for good works, go now in peace to love and serve the Lord. Until next time.